welcome into ESPN FC. We have a lot to talk about with all the latest news on Cristiano Ronaldo this evening. Kay Murray, Stevie Nicol, we have Pablo Zabaleta, Gab Marcotti and Frank Leboeuf also with us. And yes, as we go to air, there is a lot of news about Cristiano Ronaldo leaving Juventus. Tell us, Gab, what's the latest?
Well, Kay, this morning, Jorge Mendes, Cristiano's agent, went to see Juventus. He told them that he had personal terms in place with Manchester City. They were higher than we first anticipated, and he's willing to take the contract. There's talk of a two-year deal. The problem is City, Juventus saying, well, we're not going to let him go on a free. That's very, very clear. Juventus, of course, losing something like more than 300 million over 2 years. They want to get a fee back. And City thus far, as we're taping this, have yet to make a bid. Juventus expect a bid on Friday from Manchester City. And that bid is, they expect to be right around 30 million euros. And if that happens, then Cristiano Ronaldo will be free to go. Will he be free to go to City? Because that is obviously the big question mark, because at the same time, there's this massive bid from Real Madrid, second bid, for Kylian Mbappe. And L'Equipe reporting that this time Paris Saint-Germain are willing to enter negotiations with Real Madrid. It doesn't mean they're going to take this huge bid. It may require another bid, but they are willing to at least talk to them, at least according to L'Equipe. And the other detail in all this, which I don't think we can ignore, is that after meeting with Juventus on Thursday morning, Jorge Mendes jumped on his chartered plane and didn't fly to Manchester. He flew to Paris, spent the afternoon in Paris. Obviously, Paris Saint-Germain coming out quite clearly and saying, we don't want Cristiano Ronaldo, he's not in our plans, we're going to stick with Mbappe. You wonder, though, if Mbappe goes, could that be an alternate destination? Could it be more appealing for Cristiano to move to Paris Saint-Germain if, and it's a big if, Mbappe goes? And if that's the case, of course, you know what that means. We would see Neymar, Cristiano, and Lionel Messi all together, all three as teammates, and I think everybody's minds would explode.
Absolutely. Well, either way, whether he goes to City or whether he went to PSG, it would be a massive story either way. Pablo, how would he be received at Manchester City given his past with Manchester United? First of all, how do you think the City fans would receive this?
Well, what a big story that is. I think Man City fans would love to have Ronaldo at Man City, of course, but what about Man United fans? I think it would hurt a lot to see Ronaldo playing for Manchester City. We all knew that Manchester City were looking for a big number nine. Probably Harry Kane was the main target for them. A few weeks ago, finally, he decided to stay up to Spurs. But we can see Ronaldo playing in a blue shirt.
How would he fit into this City side, do you think, Pablo?
Well, as I say many times, they only have Gabriel Jesus as a number nine. And they're a club team. They play in so many games, so many competitions to play for. They're always looking to try to achieve big things. They want to win trophies. And they always expect to have the best players around. So that's why when Sergio Aguero left, everyone knew that they were going to bring probably a new number nine in. Not only Gabriel Jesus probably is enough for that team. They need probably another option up front. And obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo would be a big player for them.
30 million is the rumour, which surely, Frank, that's a steal for Ronaldo, isn't it? Given he was Serie A's top scorer last season.
Well, listen, he's my age. He's 36. He's a machine. He's still got possibly 2 years left on him, really, really good. I mean, when you look at him, the way he trained, you know, he's a winner, he's a competitor. So when you got players like that, even if you bring players at the age of 36, you know that they will give 100%. So he's a professional. We all know that. So surely he can bring a lot to this football club.
Frank Leboeuf, what does Ronaldo over Kane give Manchester City?
I think Cristiano Ronaldo will bring so many things to City. The only thing I'm questioning right now, it's of course he can leave Juventus. I think he doesn't want to stay to Juventus, and the price Juventus asking is not really a steal. I think it's the guy is 36. I think you cannot sell him more than that. But for the skill that he has and the resume that he has and the strength that he is in, I think it's still absolutely fantastic to have Ronaldo. My question mark is more tactically. I'm very surprised that Guardiola would be interested about having a player at this age, and also a former player from Real Madrid. But also, he just signed Grealish. I think Ronaldo loves to go to the space of a little bit on the left, even if I know he can play a striker. But you have Sterling, you have Grealish, maybe you can have Ronaldo. Say, of course, you can manage when you have fantastic player like that. But it's still, for me, a question mark whether you really need Ronaldo, or is it more marketing or merchandising signature for the Blues?
But Gabba, and I see you nodding emphatically here. They need goals. Ronaldo can bring goals, can't he?
I don't know. I mean, they did pretty well last season, right? They nearly won the quadruple. I thought they played some of their best football when they've used De Bruyne or Phil Foden through the middle. Obviously, Pep feels differently. I think a big part of the story is Pep's time horizon now. Pep came out the other night and said that he saw himself not extending his contract with Manchester City when it expires in 2023, maybe going off and maybe coaching a national team or something. And so that means that, you know, he wants to win now. And I almost wonder with Cristiano if it is something that makes the team better in the short term. Costs you an enormous amount of money, let's not forget. You can say 30 million is not a lot. Yeah, fine. But then Cristiano, if he doesn't take a pay cut, you know, Cristiano makes more than twice what Kevin De Bruyne makes, and Kevin De Bruyne is the highest paid player in the Premier League. So, you know, that is a huge financial commitment. It is a bit of a short-term commitment as well, but if that's what Pep wants for 2 years, I think there's another element to this as well, is that Cristiano Ronaldo is on Man City's books. He can't be playing for somebody else. And Cristiano Ronaldo, we know because we've seen him do it in Champions League games, can be lethal, can carry teams on his shoulder. And maybe that clears the way a little bit of one more individual opponent who could come and hurt you if you're Man City. So maybe that's part of the thinking with Cristiano as well.
Do you think that could be the case, Stevie?
If it is, it should be way down the list. The truth is, he'll guarantee you goals. Yes, don't cross the ball in the box. That takes away one of his assets. But at the same time, if there was one thing that City have been missing, in my opinion, since Aguero's number one injury started and then him leaving, is on too many occasions they have nobody in the box. Even Jesus, who's the most recognisable number nine they have, he's a way out wide as well, trying to play passes and take people on. If you get Ronaldo, and you would have to make sure Ronaldo's coming, knowing that he's not playing every game the way he normally does. He wants to play every game. He can't do that. I don't think he can do it in the Premier League. And if he's willing to do that, then I think he's a great signing. You are guaranteed goals with this guy. And particularly when you've got somebody like Grealish setting them up, or a Sterling, or a Mahrez on the other side, it's fantastic for him.
Pablo, are you surprised to see Pep Guardiola and Cristiano Ronaldo potentially teaming up together?
Yes, absolutely. As you were saying, guys, when you look at that Man City team, plenty of options on the wings and even behind, the striker with the likes of Kevin De Bruyne, Grealish now, Gundogan. I think they need like a killer inside the box where they can put ball into the box. And Cristiano Ronaldo is a beast. He's so much presence on him inside the box where he can score a lot of goals. And even Pep, he knows that probably he's going to stay at Man City for the next 2 years. Even he knows that Champions League probably is one of those competitions he's looking at. And Ronaldo, Cristiano, he got plenty of experience in that competition as well. You need players. That's when they step up for those games, they really show up and they know what they're doing. So of course they can work, you know, together. That's, I'm absolutely sure of, about that.
Yeah, so it looks as though, as has been mentioned, it may be more of a short-term thing, especially on Guardiola's side of things, and we know Cristiano Ronaldo's age. This is Pep Guardiola on his future. After 7 years at this club, I think I'm going to have a break. I will need to rest after being somewhere so many years and also stop to evaluate what we've done and to try to learn from other coaches. If, during this process of stopping, there is a chance to coach a national team, then I think I'd like that. I'd like to coach at a European Championship or Copa America or World Cup. I'd like to experience that. Where do you think this has come from, Gab? Do you think this has been coming? It looks as though that's ruling Juve out in the future too, doesn't it?
Maybe there's a possible destination for Pep. I mean, I think Pep is being very, very honest about this. But, you know, he had an expiring contract before and then he extended it. I think equally, you know, if you ask him now what he wants to do, he says this is the plan. But you know what? Plans change. You know, maybe if he wins the Champions League, maybe he'll feel differently. Maybe if he doesn't win the Champions League, maybe he'll feel differently. What we do know for sure is in sending this message, he's telling Manchester City, guys, don't come talk to me about a new deal. It's not about a new deal. It's not about money with me. It's about where I am. I'm giving you a heads up. My contract expires in 2 years' time. I think if you're City, what you do now is, you know, you see what happens this season. And then maybe you start worrying and knocking at his door a little bit next summer. And if he's still of the mindset that he wants to leave, that's when you start thinking in terms of succession. But there's no question with how important Pep has been to this club. You know, he's not going to leave slamming the door. He's going to leave on good terms. And I think he's going to give City as much of a heads up as he can so that they can prepare for what they don't want to see, but what will be inevitable. Pep will not be there forever.
So, Stevie, what do you think that does to the Man City dressing room, knowing that Pep Guardiola has just come out and said this?
Well, I think they'll know his history. And he's basically saying in 2 years' time, I'm off. A player's not going to think any further than next week or the next game. So they'll brush it off. I don't really think they'll think too much of it. And it just, well, it won't affect them. I don't believe it'll affect them at all.
What do you think, Pablo? Will that be difficult to hear for people back at City that Pep's not looking to stay on?
Well, listen, I know he's been for a very long now at Manchester City. Even he's never been that long in another club that he's been before. He's the manager that he brings so much passion to the game, and he's so intense. And sometimes, you know, it's very difficult for a manager. You know, very stressful. But I know he's really enjoying his time at Manchester City. And probably in 2 years' time, it will be the right moment or the right time for him to have a break from football and think for the next chapter. You know, that's always something. Even when he first came to Manchester City, I never thought it was going to be that long. So, yeah, probably he's right. The thing is now, for the next 2 years, everyone will be told he will be probably the next manager to replace somebody like Pep, you know?
Well, that will all be all the talk now. Frank, do you think Man City are already looking at who's going to replace Guardiola?
Well, I think it's a little bit early, but they will have some thoughts, you know, very, very soon. It's not easy to replace somebody like Guardiola, and you have only few coaches who can pretend to be as good as him. So it's going to be a big task for the Citizens Board, but I'm sure they can find a very good coach very, very soon. You know, in two years from now, many things can happen, and many other coaches could be free to go to the Citizens.
Just going back to Ronaldo potentially going to City, Stevie, do you think that maybe seeing that Messi had gone to PSG has made Pep Guardiola go, OK, actually Ronaldo would be a great fit if I am to deliver this Champions League to City?
No, I don't think Pep is a guy who is big on knee-jerk reactions. He thinks everything through. And he's probably thought, what would I do if Messi came? What would I do if we got Harry Kane? What would happen if we got Ronaldo? This is a guy who is so organised, who thinks ahead, that I've got to think that he's already had some sort of plan in his head if something happened. So I won't be shocked at all if he knows exactly how he wants Ronaldo to play, how he wants to do certain things, how often he wants to play, just like he would have done had he had Kane or Messi. So, no, Pep doesn't do anything by knee-jerk reaction.
All right, very quickly, Stevie. Short term, is Ronaldo better for them than Kane would be?
No, I think they'll both do the same job. The both of them guarantee you goals, regardless of one being 36 and the other being 28. You will get goals, and that's what City need. So, either way, City wins.
It's been a massive summer and loads of rumours are coming through. Just today as well, it looks as though the Kylian Mbappe to Real Madrid rumour is picking up pace and that there's been another bid. We know that from Real Madrid to PSG. What do you think is going to happen here, Frank?
I don't know what's going to happen, Kay, but I just know that...
What do you want to have happen?
Mbappe was bought... I want him to stay. I want him to stay for himself because I think it doesn't change anything if he goes to Real Madrid next season. He's going to be more in his bank account because he's going to be in a transfer fee, free, and therefore all the money is going to go to him. He's a great player. I think he still have to learn. It could be history for him to play alongside Messi and Neymar, and they can achieve something. More than if he goes to Real Madrid. And for Paris Saint-Germain, don't forget they bought Mbappe, 180 million. They still owe some money to Monaco. So they would be even if they sell Real Madrid. I don't think for a player like that, Paris Saint-Germain would be happy enough to let him go for 180 million. I think it's not enough for a player like that.
OK, well, we'll have a lot more talk about Real Madrid's improved bid for Kylian Mbappe and what it could mean. And the Gav and Jules podcast also cover all the latest transfer news and everything that's going on in the world of football. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Champions League draw for 21-22 took place today in Istanbul. These are the groups A and B standing out very much. Man City, PSG, Leipzig and Bruges in Group A. And in Group B, Atleti, Liverpool, Porto and Milan back in the Champions League and in a difficult group they find themselves. A couple of other notable matchups, Bayern taking on Barca. Group F's interesting too. And Inter face Real Madrid again in Group D this time. When you look at that Group A and Group B, the funny thing to note is that there are zero Champions League titles in Group A and 15 Champions League titles in Group B. You've got a bit of a part to play in that one as well, Stevie Nicol.
Yep.
Which group are you most excited for?
Oh my goodness, there's three, to be honest. You've got A, B and is it F, Manchester United? Around?
Yeah, yes it is.
Those are the three that I think will be the tightest. As usual, there's a couple in groups where you're like, whoa, I wish I was in that one. But those three groups for me are where all the attention's going to be. Obviously, Liverpool's group, a chance to get back at Atletico Madrid for last season, Champions League. But tough games for everybody, pretty much all round.
How do you think Man City will feel about that one, Pablo? PSG, Leipzig, Bruges?
A tough group, surely. PSG is the big one. Of course, but then obviously you cannot forget about Leipzig. That's always Germans' team that they play with so much intensity, as we have seen in the last few years in the Champions League. A tricky one that obviously is going to be really tight and really tough.
Frank, have you got Are you excited about any of the groups that you see here? Do you think there could be any surprises?
Surprises? Well, maybe for the first time, you know, we could have, you know, two French teams in the last 16, because Lille is maybe in the easiest group of that Champions League qualification. So, I'm very interested about the Group A, because it will be a big fight, you know, between two Middle East, I would say, teams, with Paris Saint-Germain and Manchester City. It's going to be crazy over there. And, of course, I will have an eye of the Group H with Chelsea and Juventus. But it's exciting. Like, every year, we all speculate about everything. It's going to be very interesting to see how clubs can cope with others. And I will have an eye of any every groups.
Yeah, I didn't actually even mention there Chelsea, the defending champions, in the same group as Juve. When you go to Group A, Man City, PSG, who needs to win the group more?
My goodness. Well, I think Man City, no question, Champions League is what they want. And for them, it's about winning. It's about being number one. You can't take any chances. Try to be clever. Are we better being first or second? You go and you win the group. So I would suggest that both of these sides want to win the group. Because, yes, it can be that you get a tricky draw with somebody who may end up being second in another group. But you don't know. The only thing you can do is win your group, and that gives you a better chance of your next opposition not being quite as strong. So Man City, for me, absolutely, it's more important for them.
Frank, you have something to say?
Yeah, I can say the same thing. You know, you put my face and you say what Stevie says for Paris Saint-Germain, and you have the exact answer. Because really, Paris Saint-Germain, we don't care about the Ligue 1, the French Cup or the League Cup. What we expect to see them at their best is in the Champions League. So we want to see them finishing first. Again, like Stevie said, to not have a bad surprise, you know, in the last 16. They need to win the Champions League as much as Manchester City. I mean, that's crazy. But those two teams, those two clubs need desperately to win the Champions League.
What kind of pressure is Pep Guardiola under, Pablo, in this year's Champions League?
Well, listen, he took, you know, the team last season to the Champions League final. That obviously for me was a big, big step forward for the club and for the team. He won everything domestically. But of course, after so many years of spending big money, you always will expect, you know, Man City and Guardiola and the players to win the Champions League. That's for sure, you know, this season one of the main targets for them. And I'm sure when you look at the squad, of course, they have the players to do it. And hopefully, you know, they can play well this season, as good as they did in the last 6 months of last season. And for sure, they will have a chance again in the Champions League.
Stevie, in Group B, Liverpool, you got to be least looking forward to that clash with Atleti.
Yeah, no question. I think Liverpool will want to get one over, particularly at home. But the truth is, I don't think Porto and AC Milan have got the squad. They've got some decent players. I mean, AC Milan, for example, yes, you look at that name and you think of all the titles, but they had proper teams. They had superstars, but they had a team. You know, AC Milan pretty much still are relying on a guy who's going to be 40 in October, and that's Ibrahimovic. Do you really think that they're going to take on Atletico Madrid and Liverpool in particular when you're relying on that? So I think either the English or the Spanish club are going to be top of the group. Obviously, I hope it's Liverpool, but I don't see any surprises in the group other than, you know, who's going to win it.
You did mention Group F, which is Villarreal, Manchester United, Atalanta and Young Boys. Mm. That is pretty interesting because that's competitive, isn't it?
Well, Villarreal just beat Manchester United in the Europa League final. Now, they have signed Varane and Sancho since then. But they've been such a short period since the game. Manchester United will absolutely have to have their eye on the ball against Villarreal. And Atalanta, Not quite as consistent, I would say, as Villarreal. But
you know
goodness,
what they're going to do.
Well, they're going to get after you. And if it's a good day for them, you're in trouble. Listen, what, 18 months ago they beat Liverpool at Anfield? So Manchester United have got their hands full.
Are they under pressure to get out of this group on top?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they expected it.
They expect it. Everybody expects it. But you know what? Villarreal and Atalanta will be rubbing their hands because they probably think they can do one over on Manchester United.
Yeah, wouldn't be a surprise at all there. So Group F also looking a bit of a tasty one. And just a quick mention, we probably should, Pablo, Bayern and Barca in a group here. And we know the recent history between these two. That's an interesting game ahead, isn't it?
I know. Especially, I think we cannot forget about that game years ago when they beat A2. You know, listen, in the Champions League, you never know. That's the greatest competition where everybody can beat anybody. Really, you can have a bad night, or you can miss players. But of course, Bayer always they got a new manager, Nagelsmann, which is, you know, one of those teams that you always expect to go find that competition. And Barcelona, that also, you know, a new era for them without Messi. What we have seen in the last, the first two games of La Liga, that's they still can do it. I'm not sure, you know, in the Champions League, they're going to miss Messi a lot. But obviously, they still got a strong team to fight in this Champions League.
Obviously, when the draw is made, you also see the UEFA Award winners. Jorginho with Men's Player of the Year. Thomas Tuchel, Men's Coach of the Year. Alexia Putellas, Women's Player of the Year. And Luis Cortes, Women's Coach of the Year. So congratulations to all of the award winners.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Week three is coming up in La Liga, and after the first two rounds, this is how the table looks. Sevilla and Atleti perfect so far. Both Real Madrid and Barcelona dropping points last time out, both picking up draws. Pablo Zabaleta is back in with us as we look ahead to all of this. Now, the last time we spoke to you was in our Camp Nou studios, where Barcelona had looked very good on the opening day, Pablo. After what we saw in Bilbao, how do you think the season ahead is looking for them now?
Well, I was at the game that they played against Real Sociedad, and I have to tell you that the first 40 minutes of Barcelona in that game, they've been really, really good. Obviously, they dropped 2 points last game against Athletic Bilbao, but obviously we were expecting to see that Barcelona side without Messi, but they've been good. I think, obviously, still got room for improvement, of course, but some of the players, especially Depay, new signing, we have seen Griezmann doing well the first game. Brigway brought a lot to that team as well. So I think Barcelona, of course, will be one of the big contenders for La Liga this season. I mean, they still got a really strong team.
Let's talk a little bit about Real Madrid then, shall we? Because you talked about Kylian Mbappe and him coming to Real Madrid now. If it does go ahead and he does come to them this season, what do you think it means for Real Madrid this campaign and also for their status?
Well, obviously, if they can afford to bring Mbappe, it would be a massive, massive signing, of course, for Real Madrid. When you look at them, they have pace up front with Hazard. It looks like he's fit now. Even Gareth Bale looks like, you know, under Ancelotti, he's playing with more confidence. Benzema is still, you know, one of the main players for Real Madrid. But obviously, Mbappé would be a great signing for them. Probably defensively, you know, they lost Varane, even Sergio Ramos, two of the big players the last few years. They didn't really look solid at the back in the first two games, but obviously up front, going forward, they are really, really good at the moment.
One player we must talk about is Vinny Jr. after what we saw last weekend, obviously impressing Ancelotti in that game. How do you rate him?
Well, obviously, he's a young player. He came to Real Madrid a few years ago. Obviously, he's probably need to be more mature in some of the games where we have seen that he got pace, he can dribble and pass people, but probably he has to be more clinical in front of the goal. But surely he's a big player for Real Madrid. Ancelotti can play him in both sides. And especially for the second half, you know, where sometimes you have to play more on the counter-attacking football, and he's one of those players who can bring some pace for the team.
So you don't think we'll see Ancelotti starting him and taking Eden Hazard out?
Well, you know, of course, Real Madrid got so many games this season, and at some point he will... Ancelotti will give him the confidence. Don't forget that Hazard been struggling with injuries last season. Hopefully he can keep himself fit for this season, because we all expect a lot from Hazard. But as I said before, Vinicius will be always probably the first name to come on into the team.
Let's talk a little bit about Atleti then, shall we? Mateus Cunha has come in. They're still making some moves. It looks as though Luis Suarez is going to be back this weekend. With everything you've seen and them being perfect so far, do you think of the title contenders that they're the most settled and organised right now?
Well, of course, Atletico Madrid is always, they show in the last few years that they are up there with Real Madrid and Barcelona to win La Liga. I mean, Diego Simeone is doing a great job for Atletico Madrid. They're so competitive in the way the team keep competing every single season. Suarez has been absolutely fantastic. You know, he left Barcelona because they were saying that probably he was getting older, but went to Atletico Madrid and he was one of the main players. They won the league and he showed once again how good he is. And then defensively, as we all know, they're a really difficult team to break them down, and they always defend really compact, really tight. And of course, there will be a big, big contenders again to La Liga this season.
Absolutely, and we're very much looking forward to seeing Luis Suarez back as well. Well, Pablo will be back with us for all the coverage of the game between Atleti and Villarreal and many of the other games that you'll be able to see here across the network on ESPN Plus this weekend.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thank you so much for joining us on the latest edition of the show. Stevie's off to go and download Football Americas and watch that on the way home.
Mama,
that's what you told me.
Where do I find it?
ESPN Plus.
ESPN Plus.
Where you find us 7 days a week.
You learn something every day.
You do. See you later. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Kay Murray, Stevie Nicol, Gab Marcotti and Frank Leboeuf with you. I feel as I've missed a lot this week, including Shark Week and tales of how to not get attacked by a shark. No such questions tonight, don't worry. Frank and Stevie, first one's for you. Which would you prefer seeing? Both legends playing together at PSG or the prospects of them playing against each other in that Champions League group draw? Stevie.
Oh, easy peasy. Playing together, you've got to ask yourself, would one ball be enough? Because you get the feeling that they both want the same ball. But no, absolutely, it'd be great to see. I was only kidding. The two of them are fantastic players, and I'm sure that both of them actually would quite like to play with each other as well.
Yeah, just to round it all off, be perfect, wouldn't it? Frank, what do you think? Ronaldo and Messi together or against each other?
Now, for once, you know, it would be nice to see them playing together. Yeah, they've been competing, you know, against each other to beat all those records, you know, and to show to the world that maybe one was better than the others, and nobody could say who's the best. So to see them once playing together would be absolutely fantastic, I think.
Gab, next one. With Lukaku signing for Chelsea and Kane staying with Spurs, who do you back to win the Golden Boot this season?
Good question. I might lean a little bit towards Kane because I kind of feel like Chelsea, the goals are going to be more spread out. Lukaku's going to have the Champions League. You know, I don't know that Tuchel's necessarily going to ride him and make him play as many games as Nuno's going to make Kane play now as punishment for wanting to leave, perhaps.
Stevie, you're going for Lukaku, right?
Why?
I just had a feeling you might.
No, I'm going to go with Kane. Kane's a better finisher. Kane will score more goals with less chances. You know, Lukaku does score goals, but he misses chances as well. So I'm going to go with Kane for that reason.
Frank, would you go for Kane or Lukaku?
Well, after seeing the first game of Lukaku playing and already scoring a goal, I go for Lukaku. I mean, that guy improved his game so much. We shouldn't stay on what we saw when he left Manchester United or before when he played for Chelsea. The guy playing for Inter Milan had evolved his game a big time. And so, you know, with Lukaku and with all the teammates that he has, I think you are pretty sure to see like around 30 goals, you know, the season.
Oof.
Is that guy bluffing in the background?
Straight in the gate.
Gab, are you laughing?
What Frank just said about Lukaku improving, I think, is undoubtedly true. And, you know, I had the opportunity to speak to somebody at a London-based club, North London-based club, not Spurs, about Lukaku. And they simply said, you know what, if you have, it kind of shows that if you have a really, really good manager who's also a really, really good coach and improves players, players can improve in mid-career as well. Some coaches just take players and, you know, maybe they motivate them, they get the best out of them, but they don't necessarily improve them as individuals. And if you have a guy who wants to continue improving, even in his mid-20s, and a coach who knows how to teach him, that can make all the difference.
All right, next. Stevie, will Liverpool's tough Champions League group make it difficult for them to be able to focus on both the Premier League and the Champions League?
Well, I think what it does is it makes you play stronger teams and on other occasions you might not have had to. You know, you get a team like, no disrespect, like a Bruges, then you can leave five or six players out and you should still win the game. That isn't going to be the case with this Champions League group. So, yes, it will affect the players physically. And that obviously would carry into the Premier League.
Next up, another good question for you, Gab. What would be more surprising, Messi playing with Ramos or Ronaldo playing under Guardiola?
For me, honestly, it's Ronaldo playing with Pep Guardiola or playing for Pep Guardiola because, Actually, maybe not. Maybe I'll correct myself on this one a little bit. Because if you were to ask me that question in July, I would have said there's no way Messi leaves Barcelona and there's no way Sergio Ramos ever pulls on a Barcelona shirt, even by mistake. So there was no way that they could play together. Whereas, you know, Pep's been around. He's had different experiences. Juventus love Pep. Let's not forget, Juventus truly, deeply believe, many Juventus fans believe that they were getting Pep Guardiola 2 years ago when they ended up with Sarri instead. So, yeah, I'm going to amend my answer. I'm going to say Messi playing with Ramos.
Nice. All right. David said, did any of the guys during their playing days get drawn into a group of death in either the Champions League, the European Cup, or a World Cup? Frank?
Not really. I would say no. We had only, I think, AC Milan once. No, no, nothing much that I would say. No, in the World Cup, no. We had South Africa, Saudi Arabia, and Denmark. So it wasn't too bad.
Wasn't too bad.
wasn't too bad.
A favourable draw, one might say. Stevie?
We had a horrendous draw in '86 World Cup in Mexico. West Germany, Uruguay, and the up-and-coming Danes with Son and Lerby, the Loudrops, Morten Olsen. I mean, just Jan Molby.
What happens when you see that draw as a player?
Well, you always think you're going to do well. You know, when you're on the other side, you're looking at it going, oh my goodness, how are you going to get points here against this team and how are we going to beat them? But when you're playing, you don't think that way. You think, well, you know what, we can play against Denmark. Yes, we've got good players, but we can try and nullify them, and we've got good players. Because we had a good team. We had good players. So this was a real group
of them. How did each game go?
We lost 1-0 to Denmark.
All of them.
We lost 2-1 to Germany. And we drew 0-0 with Uruguay.
Not bad. Not bad then.
I mean, particularly Denmark and West Germany are fantastic teams.
Yeah, of course. Last one. Gab, would you read Frankie's book, assuming you can read French? I'm assuming you've already read Stevie's book.
You better have.
I have.
Mais bien sûr, je voudrais lire le livre de mon ami Franck Leboeuf. How's that? My pronunciation's off, but...
Oh. Like that,
is that
Frank?
Intelligible, Frank?
No, that's good.
What were you, Scottish?
Very, very eligible.
How's your Scottish,
very
Gab?
Good. Your French is better than my English.
But nobody's French is better than Stevie's.
No, mademoiselle. You are correct.
So, Frank, sorry, Gab, you may have answered this. I may have missed it. Have you already read Stevie's book?
I do. I have it here. It's a fine book sent to me by one Mr. Donaldson.
Oh, I bet he made you paid for it.
I bet he did.
He made me pay for it. Yeah. Anyway.
He's got PayPal gal. I guess I'm assuming you know the numbers to send it.
Lovely stuff anyway. Thanks to the team and thanks for all of you for joining us for the latest edition of Extra Time. Short and sweet. ESPN FC available 7 days a week.